praise the Lord. Eh? There's nothing better than being in the presence of the Lord. Eh?
Love you.
I love you too. Eh? Now, you guys. Eh? You see, sometimes we come here with a direction, but what you do changes it. Eh? Praise the Lord. Now, let me tell you something. Eh? Let me tell you something. There is power in the shout. Eh? There is power in the shout. Eh? Let me. Psalms 102. Let's go to the shout for a moment. Eh? Psalms 102. Let's just go to the shout for a moment. Eh? Verse 18. Since you've taken me there, let me go there. Psalms 102, verse 18. This shall be written for the generation to come. This scripture is in reference to the last generation, which you are. And it says, and the people who shall be created shall praise the Lord. It's in reference to the last generation, which is who you are. That when they are created, they come out praising. Eh? Praise the Lord. Eh? Praise the living God. Psalms 124, give me. Let's just go along with this, the shout. Eh? Psalms 124, give me verse 2. It says, if it had not been the Lord who was on our side, when men rose up against us, verse 3, it says, then they had swallowed us up quick when their wrath was kindled against us. Now this is David speaking. I want you to hear me carefully. According to scripture, there is power in shouting to such an extent that there is a shout. Okay. Alright. Okay, let me. You see, when Jesus was born, there was singing. But the Bible says that when he returns, there shall be a shout. Not worship. No. It says with a shout. You understand? Eh? Yeah, there was worship. But now please understand that some people usually, when someone is shouting, they say, you keep quiet. You're making noise for us. Eh? Now, also the person shouting has to have wisdom. Eh? Yeah. But shout, please. Eh? Now, please understand that shouting is, I was telling my group, the people I was with the other day, that when I see someone shouting, I never tell them shut up. Because I don't know what they've been through. I don't know their story. You're there saying shut up. For you, you have school fees. You have tuition, you have a boyfriend, you have what? Some of us here, when they say the Lord is here, the person stands up and says, hallelujah! And for you, you're seated there singing, yes, I know the Lord is here, but you don't know what people are going through. Huh? So allow me to shout. In fact, there's a friend of mine, Keno is here, he's saying, allow me shout. Praise the Lord. Eh? Praise the living God. And so, some of us, if you saw us in our private prayers, eh? When there's no one home, you think we dress up and just walk around and say, Braka set. No. We are radical. When something has refused, you don't understand, you can't put language to it. You just say, Lord! Lord! And you shout and shout until the thing goes up and you say, yeah. Hey, praise the living God. A shout can make a way where there is no way. Yeah. You're the ones who started this. Eh? Praise the living God. Eh? You know, I've been sharing with a number of people recently that you, first of all, thank you so much for hosting a man of God last week. Eh? He gave me just good feedback. Eh? Eh? You made him feel at home. Eh? Praise the Lord. And there are more coming. So when they come, make them feel at home. Eh? Now, I was telling a few people that you see, as for some of us here, perhaps you received the prophetic word and it's yet to come to fruition. Yet is the key word. And maybe someone believed on God for something, but it's yet to show up. Okay? It is yet to show up. First of all, the fact that something hasn't yet come to pass is a mystery in itself. Eh? Eh? But the greatest mystery is that you're still here. Eh? Praise the Lord. Eh? boyfriend checked you, God forbid. Huh? You received the prophecy, you haven't seen anything. You've sowed, you haven't seen it, but you're still in the realm of the spirit, you're the mystery. And actually what you're doing, because you see, I was telling people that there are scriptures that apply to you. The Bible says, having done all to stand, stand therefore. That scripture is not theoretical to you. Because you're still... It's not theory. There's someone else who read it. Someone else went through something and they decided these things don't work. Let me go. That scripture does not apply. There are scriptures that apply to you. The Bible says, trust in the Lord with all thy heart and lean not. There are things we all know you do not understand. But you're still... You understand? You're still here. And you can be sure of one thing. That there is a visitation for each and every one of us. And I know this for a fact. I know this for a fact. I know that when the Lord comes to visit you, when it's the day of your visitation, someone sends witchcraft, it bounces off. Eh? Someone says that they come, they speak. You know those things where someone speaks negative words and then it affects you? When it's the day of your visitation, even if you think negatively, you can't get yourself out. And I know what I'm talking about. That's why it's called the day of your visitation. God just comes and says, okay, it's for you. In that day, and I know what I'm talking about, in that day, even when you're not sowing, trouble was coming, what? You failed to pray. Eh? But the day of your visitation comes and the Lord puts his hand of favor on you. And people say, but he wasn't praying. It's the day of your... Now you will not be like people who in scripture the Bible says they did not know the day of the... No, that one won't apply to you. For you, when your day comes, people outside the borders of this country will stand and say, "Nah, I had a testimony that side." I know what I'm talking about because I've been in circumstances and someone came to me the other day, asked me, "Man of God, do you guys go through problems? Do you have problems?" I've never heard you say, "Panange, munyambe, over what? Things are bad, what?" There are things... Okay, let me explain something. As a child of God, it is a must that in order to get through certain levels in the spirit world, to get to certain levels with God, you must have persecution. But you see, with persecution, there's a blessing. Now, let me explain, because there are different kinds. According to scripture, and this is not what I wanted to share, but since you decided to shout, according to scripture, the Bible says that there's a persecution that comes as a result of you receiving a word. In other words, they come, and that word comes in any form. It's a dream, an angel comes and says, abundance. Amen. That's a seed in scripture. It's not just preaching. So an angel comes in a dream, you say, "I am fertile ground." Now, scripture says that there's a place where, having received the word, things come up to try to choke it. So there are times by the words that you receive, persecution comes because you received. If you ever want to know, some people come to me and say, "But how do I receive? Are you persecuted?" Congratulations, you have received. It seems some people are persecuted more than others. I hope there's no one persecuting. Okay? Praise the Lord. So there's a persecution that comes as a result of the word. There's a persecution that comes as a result of the abundance of revelation. Okay, that's for another day. Abundance, and because you've entered certain realms of revelation and you know how to operate them, persecution is sent your way. Because you've discovered that God can heal, not just by the laying on of hands, but you tell someone, "Go drink milk." You've grabbed the revelation. Someone comes, "Man of God, lay hands on me." "Go drink milk." Get everywhere they're advertising, "Got milk?" You understand? They're advertising, people are not getting healed, but by your word. You've got a revelation. Okay? By the abundance of revelation, you receive persecution. There's a persecution that comes as a result of your position in the spirit realm. Lord have mercy. So, because as you grow in your position in the spirit world, the persecution has to increase. Has to. But so does the blessing. And actually the persecution doesn't come for, it comes because you're blessed. So people are chamucated, they get jealous, they what, so they come. When they come not because they've seen you with money. People have money. They come because they can't trace the source. They can't trace the source. So they persecute. There's a persecution that comes as a result of that level, your position in the realm of the spirit. All of us here are different levels of positions in the spirit world. One day, if the Lord allows me, we shall discuss that. Yeah? Okay? There's a persecution that comes to shape character. Now, let me explain something, and I hope you're really listening. Yeah? There's an anointing that comes upon. Then there's an anointing that comes within. The anointing upon is the anointing that God puts on someone to fulfill their call. So they operate in power because of the anointing upon. Anyone with an anointing upon does the works of Jesus. Anyone with an anointing within has the character of Christ. So the anointing within, as it increases, you become more Jesus-like. That's why some people, some men of God appear Jesus, like Jesus. And you understand? You meet them and say, like, I've met Jesus. It's not just an anointing upon. It's an anointing within. It is very possible for a man to operate by anointing upon and have no anointing within. Character issues, but making people walk. Come on, you get what I'm saying? Yeah. Huh? Leading the choir, the whole place is slain. But after you've got off the microphone, they come. I'm not touching on anybody. How many of you, you're listening to me? There's an anointing upon, an anointing within. It is also possible for someone to have the anointing within, to be Christ-like, but to be powerless. Then they can't raise a dead person. They can't. They literally, you look at them, every time you meet them, they have a beautiful character, but are not operating in power. The key is for you to have both. Huh? Now, like I was saying, there's a persecution. If you want to be more Jesus-like, the more you say, make me more like you. I'm not the one who's... You listen. Make me more like you, Lord. I wanna be like... I want to have... Yeah. Now, you see what happens is that you want to be like Christ, and so he fulfills your desire. And so one day you're singing in choir, and someone joins choir that is... I don't know why I'm bringing up choir. Anyway. But someone joins choir that is, quote-unquote, you guys are not on the same page. And God is testing your character. Huh? And interestingly, after the character has been built, the person comes down. Yeah, I'm telling you, spiritual things work. I'm telling you how spiritual things work. Okay? Alright, so there's an anointing upon, an anointing within. All these persecutions come to shape certain things, to bring certain things in you, to make you more Christ-like. Now, Galatians chapter 5 verse 25. I don't know if we're going to get where I want to get. Galatians 5 25, what does it say? Read together, 1, 2, 3. Now, it says, if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Now, notice that scripture says if. It's a condition. There's a perception that because you're born again, you're automatically living in the Spirit.
You guys, man, again.
Now, please understand that when you're born again, you're born of the Spirit. In other words, you have access. But living, he says, if you live in the Spirit, walk ye in the Spirit. The people who are not yet living in the Spirit, we need to tell you first, live in the Spirit. Okay? And I'll explain as time goes on. Now, if we live in the Spirit, walking in the Spirit is learning the patterns of the spiritual things. So, living in the Spirit is being awakened to the spirit world and to the Holy Spirit and how He works. Okay? Not just the spirit world, because even those witch doctors, hey, some of them live in the Spirit and they walk in their own spirit. So it's not just about living in the Spirit. It's about having access to the spirit world but having a relationship with God. Praise the Lord, you're with me. This sounds basic, but you're going to have to go back and let the Spirit of God reveal to you more of these things. Walking in the Spirit is learning the patterns of the Spirit. That means that there comes a time when you will sow for a need, and ultimately the door opens and God gives you what you sowed for. If you've just fallen on the revelation of sowing, usually it happens quickly. The result comes quickly. Then, after you say, these things work. After you've said, these things surely work. Dry spell. You get your butt empty, your account, you what you need. Then you come, man of God, I don't know what is happening. And it is okay to be in such a state, by the way, because we're learning the path. But please understand that the reason why such things come is to prove, do you really believe in this principle? If you continue sowing, after the sowing seemingly does not seem to be working, you believe the principle. Okay. And that, you get what I'm saying? You say, man, these things work because you see the principles of God in the spirit world are true, whether to you they yield result or not. Because there's what they call subjective and objective. Subjective means it's my opinion. Objective means irrespective of what I think, it is true. Yeah? Praise the Lord. Yeah? It says, you live in the Spirit. Let us walk also in the Spirit. Now let me explain something. As I've grown in my walk with God, I've begun to realize a number of things. There are times when I meet people constantly, and many people don't understand. They don't know this. That there are times when you talk and you speak and you're in a conversation with someone and suddenly their spirit speaks. Now, you're talking now, they're talking English, you can hear their voice. But even as they're speaking, somewhere in there, their spirit speaks. And it happens to each and every one of us. Every one of us. As people grow in the Spirit, they can tell when God is speaking and when someone's just speaking their own thing. I remember there's a time, I was telling some people, there's a time someone came to me and said, the Lord has said, shift from your home. I said, amen, surely, amen. Then I went back and chat. Because I have learned to hear the voice of God. And you see, the voice of God doesn't say shift. Someone is there, man of God, I don't know what happened. I was here, I see her, then I don't know, I tried to shift. Then as she's telling the story, the Lord says shift. You guys, you understand? There are times in a conversation when your spirit speaks. Every one of us here. Every single one of us here. When the spirit of a man speaks, or to the person you're speaking to, it speaks. And not only that, because in the spirit realm, there's no geographical location. There's no distance, per se. Let me put it this way. There's no distance. I can hear someone's spirit who's in Geneva from here. Okay, now I've messed up a few people. I can be standing right here and pick up someone in Geneva. Because there's no distance in the realm of the spirit. Praise the Lord. Actually, spiritual conversation takes another form. There are times you're watching television, if you're watching a horror, you know that fellowship and communion has taken place when after the horror you start seeing the things around. Come on, you guys get one of them? That is spiritual communion. You were just watching, but your spirit was involved. And because the horror is spiritual. Now, I'm just explaining some of these things because I'm just explaining. Yeah, you said not your portion. In fact, it's not. But I'm trying to explain how spiritual things work. Communion with God is kind of like that. You watch a movie and you enter it, but your physical body is still there. But you decide you don't want to see, you don't want to sit off the light. Actually, what you've done, like I said last time, you've entered. It's an entry. You've had communion. There are people who know how to do it actually spiritually. Where some guys, when they approach, let me leave this. Because that. Okay, some guys, when they approach some ladies, he just comes, doesn't have to say much. Says, hi, how you doing? So I'm fine, cool. You go back, You just can't stop thinking about that guy. You can't stop. You're trying to sleep. I have a dream about him. You what? The guy has dropped himself in your spirit too. Vibing namna gani? Let me leave that. Man of God, what are you preaching today? What are you ministering today? Okay? So, there are things. Now, if that can happen, it's also possible for you to go for an interview and put yourself in someone. A job interview. And the guy is trying to pick someone else, but he's having dreams, being tormented, being what? And then for him, he's there saying, the devil is sending me bad dreams. No, it's God. You understand? For your behalf. He's intervening for your behalf. Yeah? So, there's a communion of things of the Spirit. Eh? Praise the Lord. Eh? Praise the living God. I want to see how I can help you. You see, there is a knowledge that comes from the body. There's a knowledge you get of God that is bodily. You're in a room, there's worship, and your skin begins to crawl. You know God is there. It's a body function. There's a place where your soul can know God is around. Your emotions catch up. They evolve. It's no longer just body. You're caught in the mix. Then there's a place where your spirit has a knowledge of God. Now, when your spirit has a knowledge of God, there are different ways. For example, the speaking of tongues is actually a form in which you can get knowledge but also disperse. Okay? Praise the Lord. Now, when we talk about tongues, the interesting thing, when we talk about tongues, people's perception of tongues, most people's perception, is that tongues must have vocabulary. What do they call them? What do they call them? It must have phonation and vowels and all those things. Because your English language has, or whatever your mother tongue is, it has vowels, it has pronunciations, it has all things. So you think that when you go to tongues, you limit it like that. But Bible talks about what we call tongues of angels, and I've learned this in the spirit by experience. That there are things in the spirit world, there are tongues you speak that don't have vowels. You can make a sound of water. Now I know. How do I know? Because scripture says, actually the Bible says that John is caught up in the spirit and adds God's voice and it's like water. Now you think it's just... Okay. Now I know what I'm talking about. In a spirit world, our language has been limited to vowels and all those things. But you can speak language that has gone beyond this earth and you don't understand. That's why sometimes you find, I remember I went to a prayer place somewhere. Someone went, yeah. I said, what are you doing? I'm speaking tongues. Na. And by the way, I used to have that kind of mindset. Na. You're speaking what? No. It's called tongues, not groaning. It's called tongues, eh? Which means the tongue must be present. I said, na. And I remember back those days, I was like, no, this is a demon. Either demon or false tongues. Until the Lord, actually as I grew, began to tell me that there's a place where you capture certain, for lack of a better word, tonations. The languages of the angelic are beyond our vocabulary and things that we say. Now, it is not for you to say, when am I speaking the language of angels? No. That's not how it works, because I know how some of you are thinking. You'll sit there and pretend you're speaking angelic languages. Then I said, pray in tongues, guys, start. That's not how it is. What happens is that you're led by the Spirit of God. And you see, ultimately, I think, because please understand, you might not know what I'm doing, but I'm trying to find your wavelength, the entire room. And I know how I'm doing it. So while I'm speaking, because I haven't started. Interestingly, I haven't started. But while I'm speaking, I'm trying to find your wavelength. At what level you are at, with me, I'll release. So there's a place where a person will speak tongues and you enter a certain realm of operation. The Bible says, Acts 2:4, I think, that the Holy Spirit came down and it says these guys began to speak in tongues. Okay, you know that, they are Pentecost. It says they began to speak in tongues. Now, there are two ways to look about it, because the Bible says those who are around them had each speak in their own language. Now, there's one way to interpret that. Either when they spoke the languages of men, or they were speaking a spiritual language and each had it in their language. Are you getting what I'm saying? So either I was speaking French. Bonjour, mademoiselle. Je voudrais parler avec vous. He was speaking French and someone had French, or he was speaking Braka, Chete, Karebos, and Dalaba, and someone is here in French. Praise the Lord. I'm giving you principles here, because you see, there's a difference between the gift of tongues and the tongue that comes from baptism. The Bible refers to it as the gift of diverse tongues, the ability to speak various languages. That's a gift. Baptism in the Holy Ghost, you receive it by fire, you broadcast it, you prophesy, you interpret dreams, you understand? You're getting what I'm saying? Yeah. The gift does not need interpretation, because it's for someone speaking that language. Huh? So if I speak Japanese here, not all of you need to know that. Eh? If someone is speaking Japanese, it's their language, it's a message for them. But with the baptism of the Holy Ghost, as we speak, an interpreter is needed, because it could be prophecy. Praise the Lord. Eh? Now, I made a promise to myself, actually, when I was having communion with God. I said, Lord, I'm tired of ministering only to problems. So I come, I say, everything is going to be fine. The Lord is going to come next Friday, everything is going to be... No. I said, there has to be a place where men need to learn the patterns of God. So that when something comes their way, you hold the sword. So allow me. Can I? May I? Okay. Because we said the shout will sort you out. Okay. Now listen to me carefully. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 18, because now I found my wavelength. Matthew chapter 18 verse 10, Jesus is speaking. And he says, okay, take me there. Take heed that you despise not one of these little ones. For I say unto you that in heaven their angels do always behold the face of my Father which is in heaven. Now, Jesus here is speaking, and I feel you need to get this. When you are born on this earth, there's never been a time ever since you were born that you've been alone. Now, there's been a time when you've been alone physically, yes. But there's never been a time since you came on this earth that you were. There were always individuals working behind. Now, on a certain level, I want to help you understand these individuals. A certain level. Okay? Praise the Lord. Eh? According to this scripture, every child is born with an angelic being. Some people call them guardian angels. Call them what you may. Every single person has an angel. We agree that one you've known. Sunday school, what? Eh? You know those ones. But now, please hear me carefully. That as you walk with God, there are times you will feel their presence. But you're yet to see them. But there's a time as you walk with God that what was once felt is heard. Then what was once heard is now seen. We're together so far? Okay? There comes a place when that happens. In the realm of the spirit, there comes a place. Please know that I was explaining to someone, I think some people yesterday, that you see, the Bible says in Ephesians chapter 3 verse 14, it talks about every family, both in heaven and on earth. There are two families. A family in heaven and a family on earth. The biggest perception that people have is that the family in heaven is just you guys, eh? The church. Eh? Eh? Or that's a family. The family on earth and heaven is just that. But your angel is included in your family. And I know what I'm talking about. He has been with you since you were born. Now, you have seen everything you've gone through, seen every battle, been there, averted some things that you know nothing about. When the Bible says, do you not know that we shall judge the angels? When we talk about judgment, judgment doesn't have to do only with bad things. You can judge for good. Do you know that when you get a reward standing before God, your angel will get it together with you? It's a partnership.
I know.
Actually, and I know what I'm talking about, because you see, if you look through scripture,
Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12. I feel like it's a bit over some people's head. Ephesians chapter 6, I want to help you a bit.
For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. All those are different hierarchies. Please understand that there's hierarchy in the realm of the spirit, even in terms of the angelic. There are things I'm going to say, and I'm going to say them because I've experienced them. And so, you have the freedom either to receive them or not. Because some of them, I'm yet to find a scripture for them. Now, I'm yet to find a scripture for them. And I sit down with some men of God and we talked about it and they're like, okay. I'm yet. But the experience put me there. Now, there are hierarchies in the realm of the spirit. The highest of which that we know are archangels coming downwards. Now, we know that there are seraphims, there are cherubims, and so on and so forth. And there's a reason why the Lord has actually, as I picked up your wavelength, the reason why he's asking me to share this is because for all of you, there's going to be a certain angelic activity for you. Now, I know what, I'll deal with it later. Okay, now, so there are hierarchies in the realm of the spirit. Now, you know there are categories as well. Seraphim, cherubim, and all that. I don't want to go into all that. There are hierarchies in the realm of the spirit. We know that there was an angel called Lucifer. Lucifer meaning light bearer. Okay? Then there was Michael and Gabriel. God did not put his name in Lucifer. El. Because he foresaw. Gabriel, Michael, Lucifer. Okay? So he foresaw, and I've taught people here before, for those who have been around, that Lucifer, light bearer, one who bears light, that light bulb bears light, but it is not the light. So the bearer of the light tried to be the light. Oh, somebody saying, okay. Now, so he fell. When he fell, according to scripture, we presume that he fell with a third of the angels. Now, this is where I'm getting to a place that I've experienced, but you are free. I've given you the freedom. But in the spirit world, I've given them names. There are beings who are, I call them everlasting beings. From the very beginning of time, Lucifer led a third of the angels astray. But there were beings that were infallible because of their closeness to God. And I know what I'm talking about, it's just that, you see? And you see, those beings, amongst them in that category, are the 24 elders and the living creature. Infallible. In other words, if you stood hierarchy to hierarchy in the spirit world, you would see archangels and angels and so on and so forth and these things. The principality is what? Then if you went to the side of darkness, you'd see the same hierarchy. But except on the side of darkness, there are no living creatures. Because living there is life, Zoe. Man, you guys. Too hard meat? No, it's not. Yeah. Living there, they're called living life creatures. Zoe. Not because they breathe. Because in the spirit world anyway, you won't need to breathe. Oh my God, okay. So, the living creatures and the 24 elders, they were beings in the realm of the spirit that were infallible. The devil could not reach them because of their closeness to God.
infallible. I called them.
I've given them a name because I couldn't find the name in scripture.
But I called them everlasting beings. They are also beings because angels, when they deal with us, they deal with human beings. Angels are sent to minister to the saints according to scripture. Hebrews chapter 1:14. Okay? Now, it doesn't say minister to. Thank you for correcting me, Lord. It says minister for. Sent forth to minister for the saints. Yeah? For them, not to, eh? For. Now, there's nowhere in scripture where it says, command your angel. You will never find it. And we know, and I know some of you have said this, but Jesus, when they came to him, when they were about to arrest him, remember the story? The Bible says, he said, do you not know that I can pray to my Father to send 12 legions of angels? The principle is there. You pray to the Father to send. You don't command. You got it. You get? Angel! I tell you, my angel, wherever you are, move for me, move for me. That's not how it works. And I'm taking you at baby steps so that you can understand how it is. So there are angels minister for us. They work with human beings. There are other beings that do not work for human beings. They were sent to deal with what God has created. Plants, animals, you understand? And I know what I'm talking about. It's just that. You know, your script and I said, switch it out. But I'll get it. Eh? But when you see that everything God created, he puts someone in charge of it. Now, there are beings in charge of every species that you see on the face of this earth. There are beings in charge of every species. Every species. God does not leave animals orphans. You are not the only one who's a child of God in the sense. Because Father means source. Everything that was created calls God Father. The difference is that you have the Holy Ghost and you are made of God. You're with me? So everything that it's a brotherhood. That's why there's a scripture that messes me up in Colossians. It says that God, this gospel was preached to all creation. Not just you guys. All creation, a tree was somewhere and received the gospel. are you getting what I'm saying? Yeah? Now, I know what I'm talking about. There are beings in charge of the things that God created, and there are beings in charge of men. I won't touch this. Those beings in charge of things that God created, I labeled them spirit beings, just for that. So there are everlasting beings, there are angels, and there are spirit beings. Are we together?
Yeah.
Okay. All those are angels, eh? But I've categorized them to help me out, eh? Praise the Lord. A spirit being will look just like an angel. Now, where do I go from here? I told someone that there are people on the face of this earth, when they were born, they were named the same name as their angel. I know what I'm talking about. Now, some of you know, someone is called Gabriel, and an angel Gabriel is attached to him. Yeah. There are people who are named exactly the same as their angels. They are. Now, naming is so crucial because from the time you're born, you must be prophetic. Now, please understand. I've said that when it comes to Muslims, when a child is born, who's a former Muslim here? They speak the ikama, you know, in the ear, the left ear, right ear. Right ear. Okay? And the adan. Is it the adan? Yeah. So they speak in the ear. The child, the first thing the child has to hear is the words of Allah be great. For us, we're, oh, thank you, Lord. The Lord has given me a child. You're just on. A Muslim, is ensuring that a child is born and the first thing they hear is the Quran. Now,
Hear me now. I know now I'm affecting so many children that are going to be born. And even those that are already born. Now hear me carefully. Hear me carefully. I've said it here before, that when a child is born, according to scripture, mothers would name the child because it was a belief that as they were giving birth, the Spirit of the Lord will come upon them and they would become prophetic. So they would name a child prophetically. The only times we see a father naming is when Rachel is about to die and names the son Benoim, son of my sorrow. And the father said, Na. You're not, that's not the Holy Ghost. And he says he names him Benjamin, son of my right hand. What both of them don't know is that both names were a shadow of Christ. Son of sorrow, son of my, oh my God. Son of my right hand. Now, so, the prophetic would fall upon a mother and she would, by the way, I have found without a shadow of a doubt that in a household, a man is a king and priest, the woman is a prophet. Okay. Now it doesn't mean the man can't be prophetic, but she picks up things easier. If I'm somewhere and I'm going to go somewhere and my wife says, I don't feel you should, I said, that's enough. I don't say, do you know I'm a man of God? Do you know the Holy Ghost is upon me? You understand? So in a house, the husband is king and priest, but the woman is primarily prophetic. So people have taken prophecy and attributed women intuition. I know what I'm saying. Now, oh, when we get to it, maybe next time I'll share some of these things. But you see, so a woman is prophetic. So now, here's what happens. Names are so crucial, as some of you have had enough sharings on names. But you see, there's a man of God called Sadhu. He gave an experience that I taught of sometime, where he said they brought a baby for him to baptize the child. He picked up the baby. Now these are not these guys who sprinkle things and just say, now you are baptized in the name of the Father. No. This is someone filled with the Holy Ghost, prophetic, picks up a child, puts the child in the air, and begins to pray, to baptize the child. The heavens open, and Elijah is standing there. Now, I know what I'm... Some of you have heard me talk about this. And he says he sees Elijah standing there. And he's like, oh, what's up? And I've added that one, but... So I want you to imagine... You're baptizing a child and Elijah shows up. What up? But so Elijah, and he's speaking, he says, Lord, bless this child. And Elijah says, we've refused to put a blessing upon the child because they've named the child wrongly. Now, as you know, most of you, and I know this, some of you, I don't know, I think you're yeah. She knows what I'm talking about. Huh? And imagine, so what? He gave back the child and said, I'm sorry, I can't baptize this child. I want you to imagine your parents. He said, why? It's the wrong name. We'll go and seek the Lord for the right name. I want you to imagine the father was like, Emmett, now, why don't you just ask Elijah what the name is? Because I understand what that guy. I know most of you would say now, the second time you go back and just say, let's just give him Jeremiah. Oh my God! My father said, why don't you ask Elijah what the name of this child is supposed to be? Let's not waste time, you know? I don't know. The reason why I brought that up is because names are that, because a name can influence a destiny. Please understand that names take up character, nature, and the work you're supposed to do here on earth. Especially the name that God has ordained for you. I could be, now please, remember what I said. Some people are named like their angel. Some people are given names that are different from their angelic beings. But the names are aligned to destiny. Okay? You understand? Now, please understand that you can get a name. The Bible says, remember what I said. Names attribute character, nature, and the work you're supposed to do on earth. The same is true for angelic beings. Every angel, their name is their nature and their work. Okay? Now, that's why Jesus, when he was named, when he was in the heavens before he came, he had no name. It was the Father, the Word, the Holy Ghost. When he comes, he takes on Yeshua, Savior. Because that's the destiny of the name. You get the... You get what I'm saying? Okay. That's why we need prophetic mothers. You just run away. You know, nowadays we have what names? What names? Nowadays the names are serious. Shanique. Like, what the heck does Shanique mean? Anyway, so people are trying to be, but they don't know that it's now. Anyway, let me leave that. So names are very, very important. Now, in the spirit world, angels never reveal their names without the permission of God. We know of a man who fought, Genesis 32, wrestled with an angel and says, "Tell me your name." And he says, "I can't tell you a name. I can't." Instead, they change his name. Now, first stop there. That shows you how powerful the angelic is, because a whole nation, Israel, was backed by an angel giving the name. An angel, not God the Father, God sends an angel, and the angel says, "From now on, your name shall be Israel." A whole nation, God's nation, backed by an angel giving a name. Now, I said that angels do not reveal their names until a certain place when God allows them to. Now, as your relationship grows, at first you feel them, then you hear their thoughts that you have that are not you, they're not even God, they're your angel. And I know what I'm talking about. Okay. I told you some things here, and I know what I'm talking about, because you learn, as you grow, you learn to hear their voice. Kenneth Hagin who used to say that whenever there was a session, he would never operate in healing until he felt the presence of his angel. Now that's a relationship that has been built. Please understand that the moment an angel reveals his name, it means it's now no longer just a haphazard relationship. It's long term. That means he's no longer walking in the shadow. He appears, you see him. Now, I know some people, I've already seen some people. Tonight, God, give me the name of my angel. I know you guys. I know you, give me the name of my angel. But there's a reason why the Lord is making this known now. Sometimes at night when you go to sleep, and you see what you need to know, is that, I'm trying to see what to tell you and what not to tell you. That in your room when you go to sleep at night, you're not alone. But also, you don't know. Remember a time some of you who were around, and I gave a testimony of a friend of mine who was fast asleep, woke up, and a horse passed through his room. A horse, a spiritual horse. And I want you to imagine, you're waking up, and you know, it's walking slowly so that you take note that it is there. Tata, tata. And you're like, what? And it disappears through the wall and continues as if you want. Yeah? You understand? And you shake his head. Say, "My Daniel, a horse passed through a horse passed through my room." So there at night there are things there, especially the angelic, for the children of God. There's no demon, nothing that can come against you. There are thoughts that are brought. There are times when you go to sleep because of a certain worry. You say, "Man, surely I have this death. They're going to come for me." And so you go to sleep and you create an atmosphere. What you don't see in the spirit world is that every thought, I was explaining to him yesterday, every thought, especially when it's strong, is a garment. Depression is a garment. I'll teach on it one day. But so is praise, so is joy, so is love. They're garments. In the spirit world, you don't put on a garment because you're praising. You don't put on the garment of praise because you're praising. You put on the garment of praise when it's part of your DNA. In other words, everything you respond to as praise, praise, praise. In the spirit world, you put it on. You put on the clothes. So don't just wait for praise and worship cutting that deco garment. And by the way, all the things I'm sharing with you, I might not say it, but I'm sharing from a place of experience. And so I know what I'm talking about. When I walk around as we're worshiping, I pick the garment you're putting on. At times, my eyes can be opened and I see depression. Or I see hope. Or I see, you know? And so it's easy for us to minister. It can even help choose the song. Another day. Yeah? Okay? Alright. So at night, sometimes when you go to sleep, you put on a garment you're not supposed to. But there is an angel sent your way. And archangels are not only for top men of God. You understand? There are days, and I know what I'm talking about. You know, I have so many things to say, I don't know how to say them. There are only two angels named in scripture. Gabriel. Okay? Lucifer is no longer an angel. I don't know what it is. We don't call it him. It. I don't know what it is. Now, these two were named, but there are other archangels. If you read Roland Barthes' book, you know Roland Barthes? Angels on Assignment. Okay, now yes, you guys don't read the authors. So we give you our experiences and you just take the experience but forget us. You guys. So Roland Barthes had an experience and he talks about an angel called Crony, an archangel. An angel that was present at the time, and I believe he was a man of God. He said he was shown the walls of Jericho. And as they fell, angels pushed those walls. God works with his angelic beings. There are things he can do easily, but he decides not to. Okay? Like, I'm telling you, the Lord can send me, tell me to prophesy to someone. And I said, but why don't you tell them yourself? You're a God Almighty, you can appear in their room and tell them, but he decides to get me out of my bed somewhere, as I call this person, send them a text, tell them all things will work out. You're waking me up at 4 a.m. When you, God, who's present in all places, can surely show up and say, Pesh, all things will be. Huh? So, God works with angelic beings just like he works with us. Now, yeah, there's so many things to say here. All of you, there are times, and I know what I'm talking about, there are times in the spirit when that angel that you call Gabriel, you've actually had an encounter with him. For another day. I know what I'm talking about. Most people here, most people. Now, I know that the hierarchy is in the realm of the spirit, but things happen that day you realize your story. And you come before God and you realize the people that were near you. Okay, let me use scripture, since you think some of you might think I'm picking things out of my head. Daniel chapter 8. Let me use scripture. And then I'll finish it. Because this is a long thing, yeah? Daniel chapter 8. It says, in the third year of the reign of King Belshazzar, give me verse 16. Verse 16. And I heard a man's voice between the banks of Ulai, which called and said, Gabriel, make this man to understand the vision. Please understand that in scripture, this is the first time, imagine from Genesis, that an angel's name is given. Not only that, in Daniel chapter 7, don't go there. Daniel chapter 7. Daniel has an experience. He's caught up in the spirit world. He's trying to understand what's happening. And a man turns and tells him, let me tell you something. And explains and interprets. Daniel doesn't yet know the name of the angel. Daniel chapter 8, a voice who I perceive to be God speaks and says, Gabriel, you're with me? He's no longer just a random angel. He says, Gabriel, somewhere, if you read chapter 8 verse 1, he says he was praying and seeking the Lord. It didn't just happen randomly. But you know what? Let me just give this guy the angel's name. Bible says he was seeking the Lord and praying. Then a voice comes and says, Gabriel! Now, to show you how things are, Daniel chapter 9 verse 21. I have to back up what I'm saying with scripture. It says, yes, whilst I was speaking in prayer, even the man Gabriel. So now before he didn't know names, now he knows. Before a name is introduced to him, now he's saying, Gabriel came to me. May that be your portion. Okay, no more guesswork. Eh? Praise the Lord. But you will find, and you see, scripture says, speaking in prayer, even the man Gabriel, he calls him a man. It's even true for Gabriel as well. Initially, in Daniel, actually, give me chapter 8, verse 17. I have to prove it to you, because not only with Daniel, it's also with Gabriel. 8 verse, it says, this is Gabriel speaking. Understand, O son of man. We agree? That's Gabriel speaking. In chapter 9, take me verse 21 again. 9:21 again, please, quickly. Okay. He was caused to fly quickly. 22. Gabriel calls him Daniel. Have you seen a growth in a relationship? I don't know. I'm trying to show you that these things are not happening randomly. There is a growth in a relationship. Initially, he's called son of man. Now it's Daniel. May that be your portion. In Jesus' name. Take me back to verse 21. There are many things to say. Do you know that your angel, that being that God has brought you, and I know what I'm talking about because there's a certain curtain that has been torn. Eh? But it says, while I was speaking in prayer. Now, it says he was speaking in prayer. It doesn't have to say English. You can just be there. Braka sete kere boshon daraba serera. You got all the time things around you are changing. It's a braka serebo sheneba. You don't know. All you know. You know that you're, God forbid you're broke. But all of a sudden you don't know how to express it in prayer. All you know is braka serebo sheneba. Manderebosi. And what's happening in the realm of the spirit? Angelics are responding. And I know what I'm talking about because you see, I have known over time that when I speak in tongues of angels, the atmosphere changes. Often even your tongues will change. The Lord has told me, okay, I'll say this at the end. What time is it? I didn't see that one coming. I did not see that one coming. Hey, you guys really pay attention. You know what we see there. Eh? Okay, quickly. I see. Now what happens here? He says, whom I had seen in the vision of the beginning, being caused to fly swiftly. Now please understand. Eh? He's praying, but knows that Daniel is flying, that Gabriel is flying swiftly. How does he know that? No one told him that. I don't know if you get it. He's praying, but somehow his spirit knows that as he's praying, the angel is being caused to fly swiftly. No one told him, no voice came and said, pray, Daniel, the angel is being caused. It's happening in the spirit world. And he said, caused to fly swiftly, touch me about the time of the evening oblation. Now, I need to explain something because we can't finish this. But, when you pray, there is what we call prevailing prayer. I call it prevailing prayer. In Matthew chapter 18, Jesus says, men ought to pray and not lose heart. Now, the mind of that is not that you're praying a lot in order to convince God. Because if you read Daniel chapter 9, the Bible says that Gabriel comes, actually in chapter 10, he says, when you prayed, the Lord heard you. But I was being held by a prince. Now, then it says it took 21 days. Now, please understand. The moment you pray, answer received. Say amen. But then, prayer is not just speaking words. The moment the desire is formed, it's a prayer. Amen. Oh, God. Now, the key is to strengthen the desire. Because there are weak and strong desires. I want to bestow unto you that angels respond to the word of God. But you see, they can be hindered or they can be strengthened swiftly by what you say or what you think. I know what I'm talking about. Just like negative thoughts can strengthen demonic forces. Yeah? You just have, someone can say, I'm rich, I'm loaded. I'm rich, I'm loaded. You say, dollars, they follow me. Huh? Yeah? You say, you can say that, or you can be in a busy place where guys are talking and just in your head, I'm rich, I'm loaded. I'm rich, I'm loaded. Dollars, they follow me. Oh my God, what I've shared today was good. I've been giving an initial stage of how to work with your angels. There are deeper things than this, but I really want you to get to another level, because trust me, because God works with his angels, there are things in your life that angels cannot do unless you move. But there are things in your life where you've delayed and they move. So you don't know what to do and they move for you. There are things like that. But then there are things also in the spirit where they wait for you to say or do. And you see why in the spirit world, if you knew, in the spirit world you're a mystery. The reason you're a mystery is because when you start operating beyond what you can see physically, you're operating at a realm of faith. So here's the thing. Now this is where you need to know the difference between presumption and faith. Presumption meaning, they have told me I can stay in a $6 million mansion. Okay, let's take it down a bit. Let me bring it closer. No, yeah, don't bring it closer. I take it more, eh? Now you guys, you're the best. You guys. So, you have a $5 million, okay. No, I've gone now down, eh? Huh? Now, you have $60 million mansion. So you're going to say, you're going to start saying, okay, Lord, you know what? Okay, I'm going to go to Dubai, go to the Burj Al Khalifa. A room is $10,000 a night. And you say, prophet has told me, or man of God has told me, all things are true, I can do it. You fly, you get your ticket, which is about $1,000-something. Okay, no, but that's not first class. No, God forgive me. Okay, I repent in dust and ashes. That was economy, yeah? Okay, so you get something, you fly, you get to Burj Al Khalifa, you enter the room, or you see that, you say, show me the room. And you go, you start, this baby's, okay? Now, there are many people who have entered a certain realm of presumption. I was talking to some people, that it's one thing, there's a difference between moving in faith and moving in presumption. Faith has been grown. Remember when I taught you on measures of faith? And I said, there's such a thing as great faith that is weak. And there's such a thing as small faith that is strong. Eh? So, whose glory is greater? You tell me. I go to a restaurant, and I understand faith. I go to a restaurant. I don't have money. I go order. I eat, believing that God is going to send someone to pay. And it happens. But if you're going to stay at that level forever, I feel sorry for you. Because there's a greater glory of you actually having the money. Huh? I know I'm stepping on some toes. But the other one is a glory. Because man, some things even men of God say, that woman of Anang, that is faith surely. She went where? Mbuserena. And what? Enough for me now, eh? I've crammed some of those people, eh? I, man of God, let's go. The Lord will pay for us. I said, let me come. Hey guys, your guy, let me come. Eh? So I'm not alone. The other men of God as well. But so people are not, but there's a glory where you don't live a debt. You understand? You walk in and you have free choice. Not because your pockets are empty, but because God has filled them. May God take you to that glory in the name of Jesus. May you go to Burj Al Khalifa, not hoping someone will pay. No. You go and you send out for me, sente mukama has impacted. And I know what I'm talking about. So you need to know, because presumption usually is operating at a place of faith where it's actually not faith. You're just jumping. Presumption actually is the sense that you're going to a Spear Motors, you order a car, but your faith is not founded. You're hoping. Actually, it's hope. Yeah. And when a person has been grown to a place, grown to a place where they go to Spear Motors and they say, I want this car. I don't know how it's coming, but the Lord has told me it is coming. Okay? You don't jump in and say, this one is going to pay. And then, surely the Lord has brought you. No, 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 no. May God give you, take you to a glory where you stop presuming. Praise the Lord. Eh? I'll say one final thing. There are many things I could have said, so many things. But I'll say this, because I don't know the next time the Lord will allow me to share on this. But there is no one here who hasn't been knowingly or unknowingly working with their angel. No one. And I know what I'm talking about. There are times, in my experience, there's a time one night, I was fast asleep, and I was taken to a world that now I know is barren. And I shared with a few of my friends, barren. And I sat with an angel who told me his name. Actually, I don't know if it was a vision or dream, he told me, and my name is this. And he said, when you call upon me for this, I will come. Now, I woke up, but I couldn't remember how he was teaching me things. I couldn't remember what he was teaching me. So I remember I sat with some men of God. I said, man, I've tried to remember what this guy was teaching me. And he told me, you see in the spirit, as long as something has been taught, it has been imparted. You don't need to remember it. You just operate. You want to give me five? Yeah. I don't know. You get what I'm saying? Things are imparted. Wisdom of Solomon came in a dream. It was an impartation. Are you with me? So you struggle to try to remember, what did the angel say? You say, now, I am walking in the glorious footsteps. Okay. Now, there are marriages that have been sorted in dreams. There are relationships that have been sorted in dreams. There is poverty that has been broken in dreams. The same happens to you in the name of Jesus. May you transition from dream world to reality. Everything your spirit desires, you see the abundance of it. In the name of Jesus Christ.
Come delve deeper into the mysteries of God with the distinct Rabbi Daniel Malinga every Friday, 5:30 p.m., Silver Springs Hotel, Bugolobi, Kampala, Uganda. For more information, visit our social media pages at Rabbi Daniel Malinga and website at www.rabbidanielmalinga.com.